Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast. As per usual, it's your co-host Chris Kellum and
Tyler Yaw.
This week, we bring on our special guest,
Heather Allen.
Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and we were talking before you got onto the podcast that we have almost all common acquaintances and friends, and we've never actually officially met each other other than online.
I feel pretty proud of that because I haven't been here quite 3 years yet. So the fact that like, I know that person. Feels good.
Doing a very good job getting out in the community then. That's awesome.
Yes. That's what I always tell people. I'm like, as long as you're out and about, your circle will expand. And then for us, it kind of gets smaller because everyone we know touches somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is nice.
Very small. No, what's what I'm looking for? It's like the
sphere of influence.
Good time,
I guess
circle.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. It feels like it gets smaller, but in reality, it's just getting bigger.
It's like that 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing. That's what I was trying to accomplish there. But
oh, I got you.
Yep. Cool. Still early in the morning and we're drinking, so it is what it is.
Talking about drinking, you brought us a very fancy bottle. It's the Glenlivet Double Oak. So this one's a 12-year expression. Surprisingly enough, it is rested in European and American oak cask. It's... Taste-wise, it's supposed to be more floral with some fruity notes, supposedly French peaches and pears with some vanilla. It's supposed to have some like brighter tropical fruit and some pineapple on the nose.
Sorry, I was kind of paying attention. I also want to shout out to the person who's in the audience that I didn't realize we were going public. So hi to that person out there.
I love it. But let's check it out again. We already had a first sip, but here, one more time. Cheers it up.
Cheers.
No, I can smell the pineapple. Mm-hmm.
Definitely more on the nose.
Next time I'll bring the Caribbean version. Very good.
I'm totally down for trying almost anything.
So this is probably now officially my favorite scotch that I've had.
Hey, all right.
Yeah. Most other ones that people have brought on or we've tried, very peaty. So it feels like you're smoking your scotch.
Yeah.
So not a big fan of that. But
I feel like there's just a burning saddle going down your
throat. Yes. I will say Macallan still has me like.
Yeah, you've also had a very nice Macallan. So I'd hope so.
It has me in a noose. There's a bottle at the Starling that I just kept staring at. And I'm like, I kind of want another sip of it. And I was like, I just can't afford it. And then the last time I went, someone had drank it all. And I'm like, thank you. Okay, now I don't feel as bad.
Like, thanks, millionaire, for drinking that.
Right.
It was delicious. So we're getting into it. You said you've only been here for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about yourself. How'd you end up here?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Long Beach, California.
Oh, wow.
I studied criminal justice, graduated Cal State Long Beach, did a little stint in Hawaii, Attorney General's office. That was really cool. Came home, worked for the district attorney's office in Newport, met my husband. We have a daughter. Her name's Kyla. She's 15, which is just like crazy to say out loud.
Getting ready to start driving.
Wait, yes.
I'm saying sheesh as in like, you don't look like you have a 15-year-old. But...
Yeah, I did get carded again. And then I got a job with the California Rifle Pistol Association.
Oh, wow.
And that's pretty much what catapulted everything. And that was a really good career. I learned a lot about not just the importance of our Second Amendment right, but just our constitutional rights in general and how it is so important to vote and stand up for what you believe in. And I started doing basic handgun training. Then my family and I, we just had it with California. Thank God we found this beautiful state of North Carolina. We're so happy to be here. And I started teaching concealed carry, got on the board of the North Carolina Concealed Carry Instructor Association. Mm-hmm. So and now I'm sitting here with you guys. I found your podcast. I've learned so much about bees and the importance of boat insurance and I guess unsolicited pictures that are being sent out in 2024. Yeah. So I'm learning it all here, but very happy to be here.
There is no ending to the wisdom that you'll get on this podcast. So,
sorry.
Honored to be a part of it. So,
I forgot all of that.
I know, me too. We were just talking about, even though 100 episodes isn't like a ton in the grand scheme of like Joe Rogan and stuff, mm-hmm. but like the things that we forget of conversations that we've had just because of it goes through so much. And then we like go through our Instagram, like, oh yeah, we did talk about that. So that's always fun. How did you get started with the Gun Association in California? And were you as pro 2A before you started?
Oh, it's funny. Growing up in Southern California, my dad had a gun, but it was like, don't touch it. It's under the bed. Don't touch it. It's in the closet. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But he taught me how to surf. So I felt like that was equally important. Right. But then my husband was in the military. He worked for the LA County Sheriff's Department for 15 mm-hmm. years. Jeez. And he was also in the Navy Reserves, and he'd be gone for 3 weeks. And I had a little girl at home. And I was like, I should probably learn how to use this firearm in the house if anything were to happen.
Yeah.
And then a friend was an attorney for the NRA. And we were talking, he's like, you know, the California Rifle Pistol Association's, they're hiring. And I think it was the first job where I met, and it was like, yes, you are hired, like right on the spot. Right. It was just like a really, really good fit. And I learned so much from that job. It was a good time there.
I was listening when you were talking. My brain is like, wait, you're allowed to have any sort of pew-pew in California now?
Barely. They're trying to make it so hard, but... What's interesting is I was right on the border of Orange County and Los Angeles County. Yeah. Mm. So in Orange County, I did have a concealed carry permit. But do you want to guess what the approval percentage rate was in Los Angeles when I left?
2.
You're close. I was going to say, if you guess 1, you're way too high. It was 0.002% approval rate to get a concealed carry permit.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So you just
weren't approved.
Pretty much. Yeah. They are getting sued right now, the LA County Sheriff's Department, which I think is funny. It's like my old employer is suing my husband's old employer now. I'm totally for it. But I would have women come in like, you know, I was just accosted on the sidewalk on a Wednesday afternoon. Like, can you help me get my permit? So I was in LA. I'm like, I could help you, but there's a really good chance you're not going to get it. And then kind of funny side note, last year, my New Year's resolution was go skydiving. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to die. I did some research and I was looking at the percentage of people who die while skydiving, and it was 0.002%. And I was like, all right, if I'm telling all these people there's a really good chance you're not going to get your permit, there's a really good chance I'm not going to die while skydiving. Yes. And I highly recommend it. I did it in Southport. It was a good time.
Oh, nice. Yeah. My wife's planning on doing that in Southport for her birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I got to lose a little bit more weight. It's kind
of
sad.
It's one of our previous guests, Chris Lecoe, that's been on there, the owner of Leland Brewing Company, which we'll also talk about because they are now one of the sponsors of the Whiskey and Wisdom podcast.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
So, yeah, thanks. But he has gone skydiving nearly 100 times. So he goes by himself now.
Really?
Yeah. He's crazy. He was showing me like videos and stuff. Like it's pretty intense. Yeah. I didn't know that about him until like the other day. It was crazy.
No. Now you can do it where you land on the sand.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that sounds fun. Ooh, yeah.
That's what Jennifer wants to do.
Until I realize that I have to get my like parachute wrapped up with all that sand and I'm not. I think I've been scarred by friends who are in the military and did skydiving and they're like, yeah, it's not really skydiving. It's just falling.
Falling.
Yeah.
Just plummeting.
It's falling with something slowing your descent.
I was telling Chris that too, and he was like, it's completely different being like military skydiving versus like civilian skydiving. It's like the parachutes are completely different. Like it's 10 times safer. It was like you're guaranteed to get hurt when you jump out of a plane in the military just about. But like jumping out of a plane as a civilian, there's so much more going on. Mm-hmm. You're pretty much, you probably know better than them.
I could see that.
Yeah.
So but
anyway, since we're talking about that, I did want to talk about your book quite a bit here. So that's actually really cool. So one, being in all 50 states in general, I'm sure most Americans haven't even done, let alone something that's as hard to carry a firearm into one state versus another. So most of my family lives in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we always have to like keep in the back of our mind is like, we're going through Virginia. Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine how that was traveling with firearms from state to state and all 50 of them.
And plane rides too. Just so I talk in the book, like just tips on how to travel with your firearm, but it's just so important to know other states' laws. For example, there was a girl, Shanine Allen, single mom. She had her two kids in the back seat. She had her concealed carry permit from Pennsylvania, driving through New Jersey, got pulled over for an unsafe lane change, divulged that she had a firearm on her, and the cop took her straight to jail, and she faced like 42 months of prison for having the gun in the car in New Jersey. And lucky for her, a bunch of pro Second Amendment attorneys got involved and things were dropped. But just to bypass the prospect of 42 months in prison, it's like you got to know the gun laws. So
right. So is that like you just can't have it in New Jersey then? Is that
pretty much in New York? It's pretty bad too.
I have heard stories about that.
A hollow point, the type of rounds. Yeah. In New Jersey, it's totally illegal there and in the city of San Francisco.
Well, and going back, the name of your book is 50 States in Your Sights, right?
Yep.
In My Sights.
Yeah. My grandma, she's 94. I could not think of a title for the book. I was like racking my brain. Like, it all sounded bad. Like, Heather shoots up a mirror. I don't know. Like, I was like, couldn't think of anything. And I was talking to my grandma and she's like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, it sounds like you've got 50 states in your sights. And I was like, what did you say? And then she died like a week later.
Oh.
But she was ready to go. But every time I see the title, I'm like, thanks, grandma. But
that's so like neat that. Though.
Yeah.
So traveling state to state, my question is, what was your most fun state to shoot in? And then what was your most frustrating? Because I'm not going to say the worst.
Yeah.
Every state's different for different reasons.
Yeah. A really fun state was Kentucky because my girlfriend and I, Marie, we went the day before the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we spent way too much money on these big hats to wear one time. So we go to the range. And we pull up to the range, and I was like, I've never been in Kentucky. Why does this range look so familiar? And I realized, you probably have seen it. The news reported that it was the war in Syria, but no, it was their machine gun shoot at Knob Creek in Knoxville, or we were in Kentucky. And so we show up with our big hats on, and these old men are like, who, what in the hell are these ladies doing? And the RSO was explaining the rules like very slowly, a couple times, like just to make sure. And I don't know what it was, but we just shot like the best I've ever shot. And then they all kind of looked and they're like, okay, like these girls know what they're doing. And the RSO was like, you want to look at my guns? He was like telling us all these stories and we got to shoot his guns. They had a Gatling gun for sale for $40,000. We're like, oh, we got to bet on the right horse tomorrow and come back and buy this Gatling gun.
Don't you have to have like a special permit to own a Gatling gun?
It's technically semi-automatic. Right. Because it's not a machine gun where you, like, you know, you pull a trigger and the whole magazine is, like, per
rotation. Oh, it's a hand crank Gatling.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking, like, the one that I have, like, on a boat that's just...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not hand cranking it. I'm just pressing a fly trigger and it's going.
Yeah. That was a good time. Going back to New Jersey, it was pretty frustrating because you have to have like that firearms owner ID card to even shoot at a range. So we had to make friends super fast. And luckily there was a couple. They're like, what are you doing? Come on in our lane. I was like, oh, thank you. So goodness for them. I've got them in the book and they found me on Instagram. I was like, you're in my book. Thank you so much for helping me. Like I wouldn't have been able to cross off New Jersey if they weren't so nice.
That's so crazy.
Surprisingly, we shot in New York City. I thought New York
range?
Yes, okay. It was where...
I had to say that.
Yeah, no. It was where they filmed Taxi Driver, which I just saw for the first time last week. Have you guys seen? I have so many questions about that movie, but my daughter and I were like, hey, we shot there. But it was down in a basement, in Manhattan. Okay. But it was a good time.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you. New York City is hard. It's intriguing to me when it comes to like gun laws in general, because I understand the premise of them is like, hey, we're trying to protect people. But in my head, I'm also like, but the bad guys don't follow the same laws. Mm-hmm. So you're making the laws to protect against the bad guys, and they're just not going to care. Because just like you were saying, like in LA and New York, there's plenty of people with guns who don't need them.
One of the main arguments that made me lean more libertarian than anything is they're like, there's a lot of laws that are already in place. Why are we making additional laws that are redundant, that are making it harder for law-abiding citizens to do something? So in that case, murder's already illegal.
Yes.
Like, why are you making it harder for a normal person to not commit murder because they already know it's illegal?
Or just harder for law-abiding citizens to protect themselves. Right. So. But you want to hear the craziest gun law? It wasn't Jersey. It wasn't New York.
Delaware?
Yes. How did you? You're the first person to guess Delaware. But do you want to hear what it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's that in order to apply for a concealed carry permit, you have to pay for an advertisement in your local newspaper that states, I, Heather Allen, live at 123 Sesame Street, am requesting a concealed carry permit. So you have to have like your home address in the paper stating, you know, I've got guns and I want to have a permit. So I thought that was kind of crazy.
That is insane.
The reason why.
So to shoot there, though, like to carry, what, you don't have to do that, like, just because you were there, right?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was just to apply for the permit. Concealed carry.
No, I have a lot of weird life connections, but I had a drill sergeant when I went through basic, and he had family that lived somewhere, I guess in Delaware or something. Mm-hmm. He's like, every time I go to see my wife's family, we have to drive through Delaware. And I have to take all my guns and hide them because it's a shit show. Mm-hmm. And so that I will randomly, I've never been to Delaware, no plans to go through there, but I will.
I'm very impressed. You guessed it very quickly. So yes.
I had some weird drill sergeants in general.
So what made you want to go on the trip to all 50 states?
Well, I wish it was a happier reason, but I did lose my parents pretty close together. It was like within 4 years. And I remember going through their house of like 40 years. I was born and raised. And I just felt like so heavy. And I just remember like a very clear voice, like, you need something fun to look forward to. Not just one thing that, you know, jumping out of an airplane. But I'm like, you need something fun that's going to be like continuous. Bring some joy into your life. And I remember having... You know, talking to myself like, okay, what am I going to do? What do I love to do? Well, I love to travel. I love America. I love to shoot. And then it all kind of clicked. Neat. So I think I had shot in 4 states prior. And then I was able to shoot in all 50 within 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah. I joke that I just visited all my friends from California who moved out of California, like moved to all these different states. I'm like, can I come visit you in Oklahoma, Florida? Like all these places that my friends were moving to. So
that's cool.
Made it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
That makes me think. So I know Hawaii is hard up when it comes to guns in general, and you had to fly to Alaska. So my question is, did you take your weapons there or did you borrow something while you were there?
I took my gun to Alaska and I borrowed a gun in Honolulu, Hawaii at the Waikiki Gun Club.
Okay.
And it's true. Like they're very, you know, they're not very pro Second Amendment. I think just recently.
I was about to ask.
Yeah, it's not with the aloha spirit. Like, do we really need a Second Amendment? It's like, geez, Hawaii, calm down. But when I showed up in Waikiki, there's like a little petite Japanese or maybe Hawaiian man, and he's got this ginormous sign. It's like, shoot real guns here, big old arrow. They're not ashamed to say, you know, like, we got real guns here. But it was Hawaii and New York where they had the guns chained to the bay so people couldn't be like, or anything. But yeah, super hard. I think Hawaii has the lowest percentage of concealed carry permits.
They do.
State,
I can imagine. Yeah.
Like most of them are like private security.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm interested to see how fast that gets to the Supreme Court, though. They're like, we're just not going to uphold this part of the Constitution.
You're like, but you can't have it both ways.
But Hawaii is also different in general because they were a pretty chill state or whatever they were prior to being brought in. And they're still like one of the youngest, so they're still old school. Going like, hey, people are chill here. No one's really, if they're going to hurt you, they're going to use a knife.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's so close quarters. Like if you shoot the wrong thing, and that's the problem too, is like people, I'm sure we'll talk about it in a second, like not knowing what their background is and their foreground. So they're just like trying to protect the the fact that they have a lot of little kids and there's a lot of wood huts for a while.
Good point.
I can understand where it's coming from with that. It's the same concept with a lot of left versus right issues. There's a lot of like well-meaning people on both sides. It's just like, where's it coming from? But I'm also very staunch, like follow the Constitution, like what's in there.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why it's like that.
Yeah. I think a lot of it comes down to wanting more power.
Yeah.
Certain sides. So it's frustrating to see when things get super unconstitutional. Like California is the only state where you need a background check to buy ammunition. A big case regarding that. But it's just been so different living in California and then moving here. Yeah. My first week, I skipped out of range time with like a 34-round magazine. I'm like, who's going to try to tackle me for owning this like standard capacity magazine? Like, saved up some money and I bought two guns at one time, which would have taken many months to do in California. And it just feels really good. Just even getting your concealed carry permit, like it's going to be like a 2-year process almost in California. It's going to cost so much money. That is, again, if you are approved and you come here to North Carolina and they're like, do I need my own gun? No.
Nope.
Can I borrow ammo? Sure. It's like so different. Yeah, I love it here.
It's interesting having you on, especially after having Bill on, who you know pretty well. And him being from New Jersey. Yeah. So like two of the most strict, maybe not the most strict, but pretty darn close to it.
Yep. Yeah.
So you mentioned this earlier, and I always like to dive back in to things we talked about prior. You teach concealed carry classes.
I do.
So I got a bunch of questions into that. One, how'd you get into it? You just take a course and go online?
Yeah, I noticed in California, the question was like, can you help me learn to shoot? And then when I came to North Carolina, I was like, can you help me get my permit? So I had to take a few classes on like instructing for basic handgun. And then I had to go to the NCDOJ and take a really interesting class. Like kind of a nerd when it comes to the gun laws. I was just soaking it all in, like raising my hand. Like, put your hand down, stop asking more questions. But and that was pretty much it. So,
Nice. So I'm assuming I mentioned this earlier. When people are like qualifying, so I don't actually know how to get your concealed carry permit.
It's not too hard. You just take the class. It's 8 hours and there's a 20 question test. I've never had over 200 people I've taught. No one's ever failed the test. And then to qualify for the shooting portion, you're going to be at 3 yards, 5 yards and 7 yards. And you have to make 21 rounds inside a giant silhouette out of 30.
Oh, wait, literally just in the silhouette. It's not even like dead mass.
You can hit the shoulder.
I have had people not pass that part, but we work on things and bring them back. And
no, see, that makes sense. But in my head, I thought that you were like, hey, you have to get close mass or something of the sort for you to qualify. 20. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
When I was getting my concealed carry, my parents did theirs before I was able to do mine. And they're like, oh yeah, you have to hit a target from what's the furthest one?
7.
I was like, pretty sure I can do that. And they're like, no, it's not like a small target. Like you hit the paper, you're good. Cause like my dad has a range in his backyard and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He has 60 acres out in supply.
Oh, score.
So yeah. So I was like, he's like, if you've been able to hit on the target out there and you've been shooting for years, like you're going to be fine.
Don't sweat it.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
I wish I could just take my like card. Cause like I was in the military as an MP and in order, all MPs had to carry like a 9mm at the time anyways. And I was like, can't I just take this qual card? Cause I have to qualify to carry this. Isn't this enough for me to
you be would
like
think. Here?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when I had a bunch of Marines come. I was like, oh, I thought you guys could carry. Like, no, for a handgun, you need that concealed carry permit.
Oh, yeah. So that's basically anything off the base. Is that how that works?
I think so, yeah. Okay. As far as just for handguns.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. It was funny. When I took the course, the guy was like, this is just for it's a concealed carry handgun permit. No one has a shuriken on them. Or like, it's a ninja star. Yeah, so I learned like, legally in North Carolina, you can own a Ninja Star, which I just buy one for $5 at a gun show.
Oh, no way.
But you're not supposed to conceal carry a Ninja Star in North Carolina.
What? Open carry. Oh, my.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody needs to make a holster for Ninja Stars. Make a ton of money out of here. But
right.
True.
The thing that I've always wanted, you actually might know this, is like everyone in North Carolina, especially in a small town, like you have knives. Is that considered a weapon? Like, does that need to be like out in the open too? Or are they like, no one's going to.
I don't think a knife. Anything? Yeah. It's the spring loaded. You're not supposed to have those. Yeah.
Whoops. I'm just kidding. I don't have one of those. I had a friend growing up who had one. And then we laughed because she also got a butterfly knife. Oh. And we were, I was like, you should not be letting 17-year-olds sitting here like playing with butterfly knives. I'm surprised I still have knuckles from like trying to spin those things. Because you see it and you're like, oh, this is cool. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, yeah, that hurt. Reverse.
I saw you going down a path and then you went down the butterfly knife path. Yes, and I was like, we're not going to get back.
We both have ADHD or whatever, and so we get lost all the time. Shooting wise, because you mentioned this, and I forgot to ask while you were in Kentucky, what did you shoot while you were up there?
In Kentucky, I just purchased an IWI, like a 1911, it's a 45 caliber.
Yeah, oh, that's
one
neat.
Of my favorites. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be like, well, I shot a rifle because you're in Kentucky. You got to practice that Kentucky windage and everything.
I shot not too many rifles. Actually, that was a black powder in Arizona. I got the whole backstory of it's a process where you like put the powder, black powder, and then you got to pack it. Yeah. And that was a good time. I shot an M1 Grand in California. Oh. Those are pretty fun too. But not too many rifles. It was mostly pistols. Yeah.
Nice.
Like revolvers. Like, not too many people shoot revolvers these days, but I think they're fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what's the largest capacity you can have on a revolver? 6?
I think a Judge, right? Like, or even like a Desert Eagle.
Yeah.
Like a 50 cal.
I just laugh. I'm like, that's why. Because one, it's a lot of recoil. Yeah. And two, if I use all of them because I'm a horrible shot, well, then what am I doing? Like, I'm not going to, I don't have a speed loader on me. Oh, gosh. Sorry. I was just, that just seems painful trying to reload one of those.
My mom has a 38 special that she likes.
My FFL soon. So that's pretty exciting.
Oh, that's very exciting. If you
guys want anything shipped to my house, come get it.
Wait, what's FFL?
Federal Firearms License. You can like be a dealer. Get suppressors and all the fun things.
Yeah.
That was a 5-hour sit down with the ATF.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
they knocked on the door. I was like, my dog's really friendly. He's a really friendly dog. Let me just reiterate that a few times, but he survived.
Oh, gosh. So I've always wondered this because I remember my lieutenant got a suppressor for one of his handguns. And he was like, you got to fill out all this paperwork. Is that true?
To get a suppressor?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think for a while it was taking months and now it's actually cut down time-wise tremendously. So that's good. Yeah.
I've never actually used a suppressor in any weapon before, but you know what I mean.
No, I'm saying you should. It's really, you should try it.
Does it actually make it that less like noisy?
I've shot and I was like, okay, that was pretty quiet. But then there's others I've heard at the range and it's like,
really does anything.
Yeah. But the fact that you can even own guns with threaded barrels in North Carolina, it's like you can't have that in California and other states. So
it's interesting. Yeah. It depends on the caliber that you're shooting and then also the kind of suppressor that you're using. Because some disperse the sound a lot better.
I can see that.
AKA, if you spend more, you get more.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Don't get a cheap one off of Temu.
I'm doing this little thing where I'm trying to only buy made in America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been harder.
It's hard. Yeah.
It is.
But then you find some good stuff and it's like good quality. I'm like, I'll gladly pay a little bit extra.
Right. Yeah. You're not going to replace it 5 times before you pay for the next one.
I feel like that was a thing like years ago. I don't know why. I remember like going through and like, hey, I want to get made in America stuff. And you couldn't find anything that was under like an extra $10 to $15 more expensive than the next piece.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not as bad now. Now that there's, especially after like COVID, where everything just got stupid expensive out of China anyway, because it was taking so long to get over here from like the shipping and everything. So they're like, hey, you know, might as well buy it from America if it's only a couple bucks more.
Right.
Or like from down the road instead of going to Walmart.
I was kind of disappointed going through my closet and had like these really cool sweaters, like the American flag, USA, and it's like made in China. Yeah. Dang it.
Made in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Like, well, we do support Taiwan. So does that mean I get to keep it?
Right. Actually, so you said you started in October of 2020. So that's a whole other conversation, right? Yes. How was traveling at that point?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I'll never forget. I went to teach my aunt how to shoot in Northern California before we moved here. I promised her I would. And I get to the rental car, like massive building. I was the only one there. And lady just blurts out like, do you want an upgrade? I was like, sure. She gave me this like Mustang convertible. And I think I paid $50 for like the week for it. It was crazy. But yeah, flights were super cheap. Every now and then, like there was a flight coming home from Florida and there was like five of us. And I just remember this one flight attendant was like, your mask has to be above. Like, she's just so terrible. And I just like went to the bathroom for 2 hours. I was like, I'm just going to chill in here. But yeah, I hated the whole masking thing.
Yeah. And especially when the airlines came out and they're like, you don't have to in here because we have like the best air in anywhere that you can be because it's so filtered. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I never would have thought of that. Anyway, every time I would get onto a plane in general, even before that, I was like, I wonder how bad this air is. Like, we're all just sitting. Yeah. You can say about that filter, but it still feels stuffy. In there. Mm-hmm.
You got lucky. I went with my parents to Vegas in October, November of 2020. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's going to be quiet in here. Nope. The plane was packed.
Was it?
Really?
I was like, everyone's going to Vegas, apparently. Like, I think everyone had like one center seat empty on the way home, but on the way out there, like every seat was filled.
Oh, wow.
I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't want to wear a mask, but it was a good thing because then some people got sick on the trip. So I was like, well, it sucks.
And do you like Vegas? Because I feel like there's people, there's no in between. Like, is it like people love or hate Vegas? I love Vegas.
Well, I only went once. And I didn't have as much free money as I wanted to. So I was kind of boring. My pop was like, really? You're not coming out? Like, I'm playing blackjack. Let's go. Uh-huh. It's like, I have like $100.
You never know what that could turn into.
True. But he was playing at like the good tables because he plays all the time. He's like, yeah, it's like $20. And I'm like, I can last three hands. Maybe.
Maybe get one free drink out of that.
Yes.
But, yeah. He's like the luckiest human being in the world, too.
Well, he plays blackjack so much. Like, we all showed up in Vegas, and he's like, all right, here's a little card. You just look at it, and this tells you when to bet, when to fold, like, what to do. Mm-hmm. And so all of us just had it sitting there in front of us, and I'm just like, all right, let's go. And then he got mad because we went at, like, a public table, and, like, some random guy sat beside us, and he was just like,
he wasn't
hit
following
me,
the
hit
rules.
Me. And you're like,
it's ruining it.
Everyone. But, yes, he does. He gets some good money. He likes cruises now because
I was going to say he cruised for almost a whole year for free because he gambled so much.
Really? He should write a book.
He could have. He could have done the whole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he.
If he didn't have to work.
I don't know if he's written a book yet.
I'd read a book about how to gamble and travel for free for a year. Right.
I mean, he's a business coach. So he works virtually with a lot of clients. And so it's nice just to like see what he puts out there and like just, you know, go with your gut and follow his plans. And a lot of people are doing really good with it.
Nice.
So in your book, if someone picks it up and starts reading it, are they going to get more of a, this is what your experience was going through all 50 states? Or are you giving tips in it or a little bit of both?
I think a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah. So there were some states we kind of just drove through.
Yeah.
Once I was like, how am I going to make this interesting? I took our little chameleon and he sat on my shoulder while I shot. R.I.P. buddy. And then speaking of pets, we have a almost 14-year-old goldfish.
Oh my
God. And when we were driving from California out here, we stopped in Alabama. Mm-hmm. My husband kind of hit the brakes a little too hard and the goldfish jumped down. He's like flopping on my boot. No. So there's like some kind of random thing put in there. And then I always wanted to talk about like what I carried or, you know, what I shot with. I thought like the prices were so different. If you go all around Iowa, there's so many free outdoor ranges. You just pop in and shoot and stuff.
Oh, really?
And then in Portland, Oregon, it was like $135 to shoot there. So very wide array. Yeah. And
do they make
Portland,
it?
The lady who, like the cashier, she had a hook for a hand.
Oh, no way.
Like, all these things are going through my head. Like, do we not have better technology, right? Like medical advances? And like, how could she like load her magazine with the hook?
It's kind of hard. I was thinking too.
Yeah, but she made it work. And it's
kind of impressive.
Yeah.
It's one of those like, hey, you have to set your gun down, hold the hook just right, and then load it with your other hand.
She could almost do like a speed loader, like into the hook and like press down. But
So in Iowa, was the concept for the free outdoor ranges like they wanted you buying their ammunition or something? Like
that could be. Yeah, I think it was just like, we're a free state. Iowa's pretty open. And that was kind of funny because it was the 45th state. Mm. And I was in just the most remote middle of nowhere range. And it was this random target of Hillary Clinton in an orange jumpsuit, like shooting a gun sideways. I'm like, you know, after the 45th president, of course, like, it's just funny. Yeah.
It's always crazy. So you were talking about it. So what is your favorite gun to shoot? And then what's your favorite to conceal?
I love CZs.
Okay.
Yeah. When I first shot a CZ, I used to teach in Los Angeles, their range, and they had some guns that like you couldn't really buy in California, you could shoot there. Yeah. And then as soon as we moved here, that was one of the first guns I bought. And then I swapped out an M&P Shield for a CZ, so a little compact.
I don't even think I've held a CZ before, but I've heard people love shooting them.
I don't know if it's just the weight or the trigger, but I just always tell people, like, you should go shoot as many guns as you can. Like, go to Range Time if you're in Wilmington and go rent a bunch of guns and just see what fits best. And sometimes you just will be very accurate with one and maybe not so much. Like with SIGs, maybe not exactly as accurate as I would like to be with that. So it's just good to try everything.
That's what I noticed too with SIGs for me too, because that's what I thought I really wanted. And then I was like, I just can't get this thing.
Okay, so it's not just me.
It was the same thing, because a bunch of like friends and family and stuff like went out to my parents and we were just like, wait, what works best for us? Mm-hmm. And just kind of trying different things. And I couldn't get that thing dialed in to save my life. So there was a Canik that I actually ended up with, but it's a little too bulky for conceal for me.
I do like those because they're so easy to take apart.
Yeah.
Clean.
I don't have one.
Handgun?
No.
Okay. Well, I know where you can get one. In like
So it's very interesting because of my odd background, because I look like just a normal person because I work in retail and sell jewelry all the time. But I had a background in the military and people are like, wait, you did that? And so I like guns of all kinds. And my head is like, yeah, you can shoot whatever. But I've never been in a spot where it's like, oh, it makes sense to have a gun.
Living even working with jewelry, you would think.
You can't carry one
in there.
Legally. Because I'm not the security guard.
In a business?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's up to the business owner.
Yes. Right.
And so the business owner says.
Yes. So like shoppers could carry
Shoppers can carry them in there, concealed and otherwise. Oh, but the employees.
I wouldn't even work there. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I almost got in trouble for chasing after a person who stole from, because I used to work at the jewelry store too. Mm-hmm. And I took like two steps because like for me, like if someone takes something from me, I'm going to go after
them.
And so I took two steps and they're like, I'm sure glad that you stopped because you'd have been in trouble. I was like,
yeah, but it's
crazy. The
reasoning is one legal
safety for you more than
and
anything.
Safety for other people. Like legally, if someone's trying to rob us,
the individual,
and then I pull a gun on somebody and they pull one and start shooting at people, then we end up with a fiasco. And
insurance.
But then look how vulnerable you are. If someone comes in with bad intentions, what are you going to do? So I don't see how that's for the safety of employees. But
that's why we have a security guard. It's for the
So then you're relying. The then you're company. Relying on the security guard. Yeah. So it's their business, so they can do whatever they want.
Right.
Let's also be real. Most people walk in and they see me and they're like, hi. And then I just follow, like, it's always funny because people think I'm just following them around because they're have nefarious intent. I'm like, no, I'm just doing my job, which is like check in on you and whatnot. But when you see just like a big black guy just posted up and I like, I have like the traditional like stance where you got your hands in front of you, just like waiting. And they're like,
is he are you the paid security?
Yeah. For years, people are like, are you the security guard? I'm like, no, I just work here. I could be, but.
And you guys just truly appreciate jewelry. I think, I don't know. I lost my stone recently and I found it. And the jeweler said a lot of people don't find their stone.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, my heart dropped when I looked down, it was gone. But.
Oh yeah.
I appreciate it. I mean, I appreciate a lot of things. Don't mean I'm going to own all of them. Like I appreciate watches and the tech that goes into it. Similar to like appreciating a good quality handgun, like knowing what's going to be good material, like what's going to fit in the hands properly, to me is like something that everyone should know. And like you said, you should go find a good range with options for you to shoot.
The one thing that Bill touched on that I really like too is it's just always keeping up practice as well. Like just because you got your concealed doesn't mean it's the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like keep showing up.
That's exactly practicing. Why I start a little ladies night.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's the first Thursday night of the month. And I tell people like, it's good. Just once a month, come out, refresh your skills. And I say like, even if you can't make it, just get like the dummy rounds, take it out, like maybe in your bedroom and just practice loading and unloading, just getting reacquainted.
So where do you do ladies night?
We do it at the VFW in Holly Ridge. And I feel really bad. I do have to miss this first Thursday because Gun Owners of America sending me out to Dallas on Thursday to do a big ladies, like national ladies range day in Dallas. So that'll be fun.
I've only been to Dallas once. I don't know if I'll ever go back.
No.
It's Dallas is weird. Like the way the city is set up, because it's like a big city, but everything is just tan. Like in New York where everything's like gray, everything in Dallas is tan.
Interesting.
And like everything's low, like the highway is underneath the city and like everything else is like raised up. Like you take the exit ramp and you're going up. And I'm like, this just feels weird. Like I feel like if it rains like for half a second, I'm just going to flood out the highway. So it was just, it was an interesting town.
Sure. I'll notice that now, all the tan around me.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, Texas in general, like even when I was in El Paso, like the whole entire highway system is tan. Like it saves on money because you don't have to paint anything, but very bland coloration.
So since we are coming up on 45 minutes, Chris is going to have a question for you in a second. But anyway, if you were to give two or three tips for someone who has not even held a gun, but wants to go for the concealed carry or have even thought about it, what would your three tips be?
I would say don't be too nervous about it. Just know that you're capable of a lot of things. And I've had women come and they've never held a gun before. This is in Los Angeles, I would say, but they're crying. Like, there's like tears, like they're so scared and they're crying. And then we end with, oh my gosh, that was so fun. When can we make an appointment to like come do this again? Yeah. So like that makes me really happy. So don't be too scared. Just know that it's an inanimate object and you're in charge of the object. And like anything else, the more you do it, the more comfortable and the more confident you'll become.
Right.
And it's just, it's a very good skill to know, I would say.
That's good. And to that point being said too, and then also with the ladies night, that's super smart because that's the largest demographic of gun owners or gun buyers right now.
It's actually black women.
Black women more specific,
have been
yeah.
purchasing guns at an incredible rate for the past, I would say five, but it's probably like 7 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Good to see.
That's neat.
Yeah. I'm tired of these gangs showing up. They're like, let's protect ourselves.
Right. Well, I mean, especially with the, there's like no police officers that want to work anymore. So like, if you want to be able to protect yourself and something's going down, I mean, you got to be able to do it yourself.
Yep. Yeah. Like a good reactionary time from the police is like 10, 15 minutes. Like much could happen in those minutes. And it's good to see more women's apparel line where you can like conceal carry with like jogger shorts and like, you know, little shorts you could wear under a sundress that are makes it really comfortable. So you don't have to wear the like tactical 511 or like the, right. or the like bedazzled Western purses. You could conceal carry in this giant purse. But so they're making it more comfortable these days, which is good.
That's neat.
Nice. Yeah. So my question to you is, if you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
I would say, just don't sweat the small stuff. I wish I could go back to Hawaii when I was a 22-year-old intern, just living in Waikiki, because I was kind of stressed about like, oh, I got to do a good job at like this internship. And, you know, I was just pretty broke out there. Yeah. And I wish I could go back and be like, just have fun. Like for work, I worked on a little day cruise where my job was to sit on a surfboard and make sure tourists didn't drown as they snorkeled. And I would have like dolphins going under and like turtles. And I wish I could just go back and just be like, this is really cool. Yeah. Just
that is cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
That would be fun. Since Chris stole my question, if you were to define success, how would that be?
The word freedom comes to mind. Okay. I would say like freedom in your finances, freedom in your relationships, freedom in like healthcare, freedom in the way you want to defend yourself and your family. That word definitely pops up a lot. That and then raising a good kid, raising good kids. Yeah.
I love that you said that too, because so my wife just started a new Instagram page that it's more of like her journey of what she's going through and what she wants to learn and stuff too. But it's actually called Journey to Living Free. Ooh. And something like that. It's close. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But basically it was the same thing that you said there. So freedom in healthcare and choosing what to do, freedom and like clutter of mind and house and body, and just that whole entire line of like, what is freedom to you, and having like full freedom of what you choose. So it was very
anxious to check out her site then.
Oh yeah. She's just started, I guess a couple months ago. So it's new, it's starting and everything, but yeah. So it's neat to kind of hear what her version, like what she's hearing and everything too, and what's like sending her in that direction. So it's fun. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So as a big libertarian, are you a Dave Smith fan?
I do listen to Part of the Problem all the time. Yeah, Dave Smith is great.
I got to meet him in California, I took the most awkward photograph. So, you know, the guys are in front of me and he's doing like the one arm. So I'm like, Alex, I have a Dave Smith t-shirt on and I go to do like the one arm and his hands are like this. So I'm like, okay, I put my hands up. When I look at the picture, I'm like, oh, it's so awkward. But it was really...
I understand why he did that.
I thought he was going to run on the Libertarian ticket. I did too, super disappointed when he didn't. But
I had a feeling he was leaning towards that way of not doing it, just because he's a big family man too. And he was like, as much as I love the country, he was like, I need to protect my family first.
But I'm so interested to see how many votes RFK Jr. gets.
I know. Yeah.
I do love that he's the only presidential candidate who's gone to Auntie Angie's house.
Oh, yeah. You shared that. Yeah.
So that was really cool to see.
Who is that?
It's Angela Stanton King. She was actually pardoned by Trump, like full pardon. And for her to now like back RFK Jr. is kind of interesting to watch. But she started a foundation where like moms who are having a hard time, or pregnant moms down on their luck, she has these houses they can go stay at and get trained to try to get a good job, get them back off on their feet, and then help more people. So
I hadn't heard of it until you shared that with me, and I was like, oh, this is actually super cool. And I was like starting to do a lot more research on it and stuff. So I really appreciate you sharing that with me and stuff too. That was neat.
And you got to meet him, right?
And yeah, I got to meet RFK Jr. when I was in Raleigh. So if anyone wants to sign the petition to get him onto the ballot, I am a petitioner that's collecting signatures for that. I can go grab you the signature thing. And what I've been telling people too, they're like, I don't want to vote for him. I'm like, this isn't a vote for him. As long as you believe that anyone who is a legal citizen of the United States who's allowed to vote, if you think they are allowed to vote who they think is the best president, you should sign this petition along with any other petition that anyone asks for. Yeah. So that's one thing that I really liked about the libertarians too, is when they have their conventions, they'll ask other small parties that are trying to get ballot access to come to their convention, and they'll let them sign it. So like the antithesis of libertarians is the Green Party, because it's socialism, essentially. Jeez. And they'll let them come to their convention. And there's tons of libertarians that sign that petition because mm-hmm. libertarians believe you are free to vote for who right. you want. And they don't think the state should dictate who is on the ballot.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I did run for town council. That's how I That's met right. Catherine Bruner. And it's sad. Something like 80% of eligible voters in the area just didn't come out to mm-hmm. vote.
It's those off years.
And then they're the ones complaining. You're like, no, yeah. that's not how this works.
Yeah. I was salty because, like, I live in New Hanover County, but don't live in the city of Wilmington. So my whole neighborhood is like, oh, yeah, we got to go vote. And we had to, like, put in the group chat, like, no.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we don't have anything to vote for.
Nah, too bad.
Yeah. It kind of sucks, but I don't have to pay as many taxes.
Right.
Until this year.
But we all have to pay for beach parking.
I know.
There's a petition going on for that. I saw that, yeah. It was like hardcore what I ran on. Like, because I found out in Surf City, like if you own a home, you don't have to pay for parking. But if you own your own mobile home, mm-hmm. they do make you pay for beach parking. I was like, oh, that's messed up that they're like separating and stuff. So
yeah, doesn't seem right.
I did what I could. I tried.
Yeah. I feel like if you have a mobile home on the island, you should be fine.
Or right. yeah, like it's Surf City or limits
at all.
Yeah. No. That's lame. Yeah.
Well, this worked out perfect because do you still live in Surf City? We're actually going up to Surf City in like 2 weeks or not less than 2 weeks. And we're going to go to.
I have no idea where we're going. I just get in the car and just ride.
It's where Salty Turtle and Hidden Ships is, a coffee shop in there.
Sundial.
Sundial, yeah.
I love Sundial.
Yeah, so I know Bridget, and I always forget what the freaking coffee shop is called. And so we're going to interview her. Oh, we're going to interview the owners of Hidden Ships. And if you have any connections with Salty Turtle to get them to come on the podcast, I know they're a little bit hesitant to do public speaking, but if you can.
Really?
Yeah. You can get them to twist their arm. Yeah, Blake. Well, I don't know if since they're ex-Marines, if I tell them that you're Army, they'll be like, nope, definitely not doing it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. And how can people find you online and buy your book?
Sure. On Instagram, it's HighCaliberNC. I've got a website, it's HighCaliberOC.com because I'm really bad with technology. Don't know how to flip that over. And then you can find the book at a couple shops here. Oh. Jim's Pawn and Gun. They just sold out. That was kind of exciting.
That was very exciting.
Yeah. And then they're also in California, Rifle Supply and Bolsa Gunsmithing. Got to give a shout out to them. And then also on Amazon, you can find it.
Awesome.
Yeah. We like to do gun raffles. So if you buy a copy, you'll be put into a gun raffle. And we've raffled off 3 or 4 guns now. I'm going to one in Dallas. So that's kind of fun.
That's exciting.
Add that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to try my luck because I want to win something now. So.
Yeah, see?
Support local. Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you.
My brain goes through so many different levels. I apologize. Thank you for coming on. It was fun. It was a blast, actually.
Definitely been looking forward to it for a long time, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to get you on.
How did you like your whiskey?
It's delicious.
Scotch, I guess.
Yeah. More fun drinking with friends.
Exactly.
Truly. Sorry, I am, I finished mine halfway through the podcast because it was so delicious.
It is really good.
And like I said, next time I'll bring the Caribbean blend. You guys will really like that. Talk about pineapple.
Right.
It's very interesting when you have a whiskey that has some fruitier flavors because mm-hmm. everyone's expecting those heavy, deep scents like cherry and cinnamon and leather. I really need to find somebody to tell me how they get those flavors in there. But yeah, I was just, it's cool.
That is a good question.
Yeah. That's why I was surprised with Blanton's because it had caramel minty taste. I was like, ooh, I could get used to this.
Yeah. That one's an easy one to go down.
Yeah.
I love caramel. And caramel and butterscotch. Mm-hmm. Those flavors are delicious.
Especially in a whiskey, butterscotch is one of my favorites too. Yes. Outside of fries.
True. Yeah. Shout out. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Shout out to Leland Brewing Company.
Yeah, thank you guys for sponsoring us again. And we'll have an extra little thing in there as well, so you can hear a little bit more about them as well.
All right. Have a good one. Check us on all the social medias. Follow the link on our Instagram. We are on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And we'll catch you in the next one.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.